Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing fine.
Good.
Let's talk about Iran.
Let's do it.
We haven't done that in a long time. But things have changed. Yesterday, they reached the limit under the agreement that they got too much, and they went over the limit because they didn't break the agreement. Of course, what's happening now? The mainstream media, the neocons, they're all yelling and shouting that Iran broke the agreement. But when you look at this, it looks like they've gone out of their way to follow it to a T, that they have not done it. And yet our administration said they have, so who's lying? The mainstream media, which is mostly, you know, warmongers, they're saying that it's all the Iranians' fault. But yesterday, that limit was a significant deal, and now they say they're cracking down. And, of course, what are they going to do? A week or so ago, Trump was ready to put on more sanctions. What do you do? Well, he puts them on the Ayatollah, which sort of passed over pretty fast, which just annoyed more Iranians. At the same time, the people there continue to suffer, and we continue to threaten them. Trump would threaten military force, and he was talked out of it or got cold feet and didn't do it. But he had a pretty logical reason. We talked about it. He says, it's not a fair trade. You know, maybe they did do these couple of things on these tankers. They didn't sink anything. It was annoying. But it's not worth killing a lot of Iranians for this. So those instincts were very good. But boy, that didn't go over well for, people like Bolton and a few others. But there's a bunch of them. I mean, the majority of people, if you take a vote in the Congress, I mean, the Democrats do it for partisan reason. If it had been Obama, you know, they would have done whatever he said. But for partisan reason, there's opposition to what Trump's doing. And the hawks are always there. And the military sometimes gets split on this. But it was a big event. It's ongoing. Something may well come of it soon, and exactly what we don't know, but we're going to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and it was indeed yesterday, the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, confirmed that Iran has breached the 300 kilograms of low-enriched uranium, 3.6%, in its stockpiles. And according to the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Agreement, they are not allowed to have more than that. But, you know, you have to, that's the headlines. And that's everyone wants you to see. But if you scratch below the surface and find out what's really going on, first of all, they have to continue enriching. They use this 3.6% enriched. Of course, for a nuclear weapon, you need over 90. So low enriched, and this is to run, simply to run their nuclear power plant at Bushehr. This is what they use it for, and they need it. And this is not like turning on your light switch. You can't just turn it off. They're continuously enriching uranium. But according to the JCPOA, that spent uranium that they use then was exported. That's the deal. And then they import fresh uranium. That's how it's supposed to do. But what happened is in July, in May of, May. Of 2018, 2019, I'm sorry, this May, the U.S. Forbade them from exporting this, part of the sanctions. And we even have this, the third thing, the State Department even says it in their own words. If we have that, we can show their own document. This is back from May 3rd. This is when they sanctioned the export. And if we scroll down a little bit, we can read the actual chapter and verse. He says, in addition, any involvement in transferring enriched uranium out of Iran in exchange for natural uranium will now be exposed to sanctions. So the U.S. made it that they can't get rid of that uranium. And so when they have it, they say, aha, you got too much uranium.
And not only that, it's already somewhat enriched.
Yeah.
So if they were working for a bomb, they already have a start.
Yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
It's subterfuge.
But if the people who are looking at this should realize that we were the first ones to break the treaty. We got out. We shouldn't even have anything to say about it at all. We were out of that treaty. And then the Europeans, were signed on a treaty that said that if we put sanctions back on, they would come to the rescue and help Iran. They haven't done that, so they've broken their promises. They've all broken their promises, but all the blame goes on Iran. Yeah. And that's what's going on right now. But the propaganda, except for the people we read on the internet and an occasional person on television, you know, 90-some percent of the people are saying these are really bad people,
yeah.
And now they're getting ready to build a nuclear bomb, yeah. And sort of we frequently refer back to Iraq. Remember how Saddam Hussein had a nuclear weapon?
That's
and
right.
Was part of 9/11, and yeah. He was about to drop a bomb on us. Same old, you know, propaganda.
And the point is, we're not defending Iran here, but this is a big issue. This could lead to a devastating war. So facts are important in this case. And here's the real goal from the U.S. is that Iran can't enrich at all, which as a signatory of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, it has an inalienable right to enrich. And actually, here's Pompeo just laying it out. Here's Pompeo yesterday. Iran's regime has taken new steps to advance its nuclear ambitions. Once again, the regime uses this nuclear program to extort the international community and threaten regional security. The world's top sponsor of terrorism can never be allowed to enrich uranium at any level.
You know, Trump is sort of in the middle of it in some sense because he didn't retaliate, you know, against the Iranians for those other things and use military force, and he backed off. That's one thing. But now he's getting hit once again, you know, because of what's going on, and the Europeans, you know, have to go along with him. So it's really a mixed bag. And if you're looking for responsibility, guilt is such a powerful term, responsibility for the mess we're in. I mean, it should be overwhelmingly clear that our mischief over there has been so excessive. And it makes a point that it is a mess over there. There are Europeans, there's a Middle East, there's Israel, there are interests, there's commercial interests and you know, Saudi interests. And it makes such a strong point. How do we dig such deep holes for ourselves? And then you get Trump getting a little bit hesitant. Hey, maybe I don't want to start World War III. Or yeah. Maybe I don't want to drop this bomb. They get more critical of him. So that is a political mess that we're in now. And there's not going to be sound thinking about how to solve this.
And we're not going to get any sound thinking out of this administration, I'm afraid to say, because the White House just put out a statement, and we have it up here, I think. They are so frenzied and so extreme that they're actually trying to turn back time. Here's a press secretary yesterday talking about the Iran deal. She said, there is little doubt that even before the deal's existence, Iran was violating its terms. How can you violate the terms of a deal that doesn't exist? It's pretty amazing. So they're working themselves into a lather trying to push this thing toward war.
You know, we gave the president some credit for backing off, deciding, well, the trade-off wasn't so good,
yeah.
You know, to kill a lot of people. And surprising to me, one of the paid generals for Fox News, who's usually, you know, very, very hawkish,
yeah.
But in this regard, because there's a politics involved, he came out with a half-decent statement, and the general was Jack Keane. He came out and he says maybe, you know, Trump could be right. And he referred back, you know, to what Reagan did, mm-hmm. you know, in the 80s because of a tomahawk that hit a ship and there was stirring up trouble. That he went in and we were engaged over there for a long time in that Iraq-Iranian war.
Yeah.
But Keane points out that was also the time that we shot down an Iranian airliner and killed 290 people,
yeah.
A bunch, 50-some kids.
Yeah.
And he says that was not a fair trade-off. So that was a decent statement. And I'm sure it's an easy statement to make, but it was also one Trump is getting hit for not by the left.
Yeah.
And by the media for not being more aggressive and more militant, which is a shame because I think... for some reason, I think this statement is decent. Why do this? It isn't a fair trade-off. Maybe they get hit with bits of common sense. The other thing that we've talked about, and I read a little report on this, and that is when we go in with sanctions to punish the people so that they overthrow their regime,
yeah.
That it always backfired. It didn't work in you know, the many, many countries. It certainly didn't work recently in Venezuela.
Yeah.
So we tried to do that too, but there was an interview with an individual who's an Iranian and lives in Iran, and there he had a contact with a reporter in the West, and the reporter, you know, was asking about, because the person he was talking to was, he doesn't like his government. Uh-huh. And it's the kind of person that it is said that that the American administrations and the deep state and all these people, the CIA, they like these kind of people. Yeah. Because they can deal with them. And maybe once they have their regime change, they'll be able to put them in position of power. But I want to read a quote of what the individual said, the one, the Iranian, who wanted to describe how he really felt about this. And I think this is so true, and it's such a reflection of the failure of undermining a system and punishing innocent people, starving kids and putting on sanctions, backfires. But this is what the gentleman said. He says, I ask his reaction to Trump's on-again, off-again threats of war against Iran. And quote, "If a war happens," he says, "I will defend my country. I don't like my government, but I will fight." I think that's such a true statement. I think it's almost universal, it would be with most Americans. They did respond in this way, which to me just puts more emphasis on wising up on our foreign policy, this pretense that blockades and pensions and closing down all exports gets us into this crazy mess here of us breaking the treaty, the Europeans breaking the treaty, and all of a sudden turn around and say, well, it's all the Iranians' fault. Well, I'm sure they have plenty of faults, but I'll tell you what, under this circumstance, it's only a gimmick to have a regime change, and that's been a goal early on by many, many people in Washington, Republicans and Democrats, deep state and shallow states, all of it. And, of course, I always think it leads to a disaster, because it really started in 53, and look, that ushered in the Shah and the abuse of the Shah that we got blamed for. We're still fighting over the Shah. Yeah. Nobody wants to say that, but there's the people remember the Shah. So this is something that we should remember. I claim the people in the Middle East never forget. Americans never remember anything.
Exactly. You know, it is pretty astonishing if you have a deal with a group of people and you pull out of the deal and break the deal, and you think you still have the right to dictate to the rest of them who stayed in it how they should behave. But, you know, that good point about this Iranian fellow, and I think that's something that people that are in favor of regime change, and even if it's non-governmental, but it has a flavor of government. I'm afraid some libertarians are caught up in this, too. When you think about Venezuela, what they don't realize is that this is a natural reaction of people. Hey, I hate Maduro. Hey, I hate this guy. I hate my government. But I don't want my future dictated by a foreign power. I don't want someone who's backed by a foreign government coming in and taking over. And I just think that's a natural reaction.
Well, you bring up Venezuela. That was not so long ago, and you and I got hit.
Yeah.
Because we said, let's become more neutral. Let's not support the CIA coup.
Yeah.
And right now, I would say, if they're looking at events, they ought to think about backtracking and backing off from those statements that they made, because Guaido is certainly no angel and isn't the answer. What is the answer has nothing to do with those two individuals. The answer comes from knowledge and understanding and free markets. But we can't impose free markets by only imposing coups where we install a dictator. That's what, that's what we claim that we're capable of doing. We will always put in a good dictator, but we use force to get rid of force, and it doesn't work because it's the opposite of what freedom is all about.
And we find out for Guaido, free markets really meant free stuff, because they absconded with all that aid.
We have a few of those here.
Yeah, exactly. But the one thing we should probably touch on, though, before we close it down, is how hapless the EU has been to this whole process. They confirmed, we are going to stay in this deal no matter what. We don't care if we have to defy the U.S. And then they ran and scurried back to the darkness and in their corner and did nothing. They've unveiled, I think this past week, their INSTEX, Instrument in Support of Trade Exchanges, which was a way for them to stay in the deal while not getting in running interference with the SWIFT the way that, you know, they're going through with New York and not getting in the way of U.S. sanctions. But the whole thing is a joke. The only thing that can be traded on their system is food and medicine. The main thing Iran needs to do is sell oil. That's what it wants to do. So the whole thing is a joke. It's going to fail because the U.S. said, hey, Europeans, if you do anything, I don't care what you come up with, if you trade with them, you're not going to trade with us.
But, you know, this program was developed, actually encouraged by France, Great Britain, and Germany. And that was when they believed their promises.
Yeah.
Well, if it's the case, we better have this alternative, and we will still buy our oil. It would be good for us and good for them, and we don't need to deal with the Americans. But now, all of a sudden, they change their mind. But that doesn't mean that they have total control of every European country. So there are some in the Europeans that could benefit tremendously by just a little bit of the common sense and buying oil, you know, from Iran. But I thought it was ironic that they actually developed it. Now they don't want anybody to use it. So
only for the small things, not for the big stuff.
Medicine.
Yeah. So it's a terrible situation, and Iran is on the menu. Iran is going to be on the menu. We've got a big summer in Washington coming up, the conference we're having on the 24th of August. We're selling tickets for it. The ticket prices are low for a full day of great lectures and a good lunch and camaraderie with people who believe in real non-interventionism. This is not non-interventionism light. This is not a realism sprinkled with non-intervention. This is real non-interventionism, and we have to keep the philosophy pure. I did mention yesterday that we're having a new program, which is the Ron Paul Scholars Seminar. We're launching that the day before. 10 graduate students in upper division undergrads are going to have really a great day of heavy-duty lectures and a lot of Q&A and interaction. Go to the Ron Paul Institute website, ronpaulinstitute.org. It's the lead article up there on the left that's going to give you more information about that. Look forward to seeing all of you in August.
You know, I want to just finish by more or less summarizing what we've been talking about, and that is who gets blamed for the breakdown of the nuclear accord. And I think the facts that are on the table, that the facts are very evident, is not that difficult to realize that Iran did not break the nuclear accords. I mean, there are some things that are difficult and get confusing, but I don't think anybody with any common sense and would just look at what's going on would say, oh, it's all Iran's fault. They're the ones who broke the accord. And it obviously has to do with European nations, United States, and we just haven't followed it. And we need to look at this objectively and see the information, but then it comes up, if that is true, why is it that we hear so much? Well, I would think by now, especially when people were looking to find out who was telling fake news and telling lies in the last election, why don't we apply some of that? Because there were some correct statements made in that argument going on. But right now, it seems like people don't care about the lies told. And when you think about a guy like Pompeo, who admits as his training for the CIA was that they were taught to lie, cheat, and steal, you know, this and do a lot of killing and pulling off coups. So we should question that. And right now we question in a major sort of way. And once again, to restate Daniel's point, is that does not mean that we come to the defense of the countries of somebody it looks like they're trying to overthrow their leaders. May well be. If there's an internal struggle for power, I still say stay out of it. You know, if somebody wants to volunteer and go over and they think they know who the good guys, to me, that's a different story. But for us to get involved and send money and sanctions and play these games, because that becomes, you know, a money game. Who's going to control the oil? Who's going to control the banking system? Who's going to sell the weapons? And that is where we get into real trouble. Money is a big deal. Oil's a big deal. Telling the truth should be a big deal, too. And that's what we hope we can encourage. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.